This is Indie Colorcast, powered by Radio Kismet. I'm Andrew Benioff, the founder of Indie Congress. The conversations you're about to hear were recorded in Miami from February 8th to the 10th of 2022. I think they're important because we heard from industry leaders in independent hospitality on their plans on emerging from the pandemic. My co-host in these conversations is Christopher Plant, the founder of Radio Kismet. Christopher, welcome.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
I found these conversations fascinating as a snapshot in time, as well as being really inspirational. I hope you'll enjoy them as much as I did. Jason Bass is the Director of Culture and Impact at Hotel Revival in Baltimore, Maryland. He is also the winner of the Indie Award as Icon of Culture 2021.
It's Christopher Plant here at ILC in Miami, and today we are in our studio here with Jason Bass, who's from Hyatt. How are you, Jason?
I'm excellent, thank you.
And I think that I just saw you win an award.
Yeah, I won the Icon of Culture Award, you know, and who knows what that means. We talked a little bit about that on stage.
It's easy to interpret.
Right.
And so Icon of Culture, and so you work with Hyatt in Baltimore.
Yes.
Hotel Revival?
Yes, well done. Yeah, absolutely. And the name kind of actually says it all. You know, I don't know if they knew that we would be doing this kind of work back in 2018 when they opened the property, but it seems like the last 2 years have really allowed us to live up to that.
And it seems from what I've heard and a little bit of research that I've done that your career isn't audible. You came in under one idea, and mm-hmm. because you're crafty and smart, you evolved into something else. And so you come from an events background?
Yeah, thank you for those compliments, by the way. I'm going to send a little Bitcoin your way for that. But I do come from an events background. I've done a few things from, I used to own a company that manufactured travel bags and accessories that was invested in by Under Armour's venture capitalist firm in Baltimore for about 6 years. I was an IT project manager for 7 years. I did multicultural marketing for Millicores and a little while for Grey Goose. And a lot of that really just gave me the kind of experiences that I think fit this particular role well, because they're based in, you know, just, you know, having like strong business principles and ideas and an entrepreneurial spirit, as well as some of the intangibles which deal with people and bringing people together and supporting the community.
Yeah. And so to be clear, your role is the Director of Culture and Impact.
Yeah.
And so I know that it's vague, but what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, the definition keeps changing. It evolves, and hopefully, you know, we'll nail something down soon. But it's something that when it comes to the impact side, you know, I'm able to bring the values of the business to life every day. I think a lot of companies talk a good game, but we're able to demonstrate that through action, such as feeding the community or getting to know the community in a real way, right? And when the community really needed help during the pandemic, we reached out to our food suppliers and, you know, their food was going to go to waste. So we asked if they would donate it to us. We had plenty of space to store it, and we had a great place to distribute it from. So as people were really having a hard time accessing food, you know, we created that connection for them. We did it with toilet paper. We did it with coffee. We did it with flowers that were donated to us to really boost everybody's morale, mm-hmm. you know, when things were tight. And even, you know, when it came to small business owners who were losing their storefronts, right, their restaurants during the pandemic, we had two food outlets in the hotel that were not being used.
Yeah.
So we gave it to them for free, right? And then they could, you know, do a little ghost kitchen kind of a thing from our space, right? And then retain all of that revenue that was produced.
Yeah, and use your infrastructure to benefit this community that you wanted to support.
Right, and that seems like so revolutionary, but I don't know why.
Well, no, I heard you say on the panel, you know, that a lot of what you do is just figuring out how to be kind.
Yeah.
And that, why is that not just so obvious?
Yeah.
But so when you say that and when you think of the support that you build for the communities, why does it matter?
It matters because, I mean, we are a part of that community, right? You made a good point just in a conversation outside of this, is that so many organizations just plop down like a UFO in communities and they don't look to engage or be a part, right? So where do we think that we're going to get our labor force from, right? Like, who are the people that we're going to, you know, hire at a certain point? Those are going to be people from the area, hopefully, right? That have some skin in the game and want that place to be successful and to be your evangelist, right? And to just spread the great word of like what you're doing every day from a traditional business standpoint, as well as, you know, some of the more cultural and impactful things.
Tell me a little bit about Hotel Revival.
It's a 107 room hotel with one, you know, pretty large suite called the Miss Mary Suite. It's in a building that was originally owned by a family that helped build the B&O Railroads. Across from us is the first George Washington Monument, the one before, obviously, the one that's in D.C.
The other one. The one before the other one.
The one that everybody recognizes. And we're in a very, like, culturally rich neighborhood in Baltimore called Mount Vernon. You know, there's the connection with George Washington again. We have the Peabody Institute Library right across the street from us. Beautiful place. Looks straight out of Harry Potter. So wonderful for weddings. We have the Walters Art Gallery. We have Baltimore School of the Art, where Jada Pinkett Smith and, you know, Tupac went to. Mm-hmm. We also have MICA, which is the Maryland Institute College of Art, you know, very close to us. So those are kind of like the institutions that are fantastic.
So you're surrounded by like sort of super quality stuff.
Incredible stuff and great food. I mean, we have, you know, everything from some of the great Afghani food to Ethiopian to Nepalese, you know. I mean, this is Baltimore, right? We don't think that we have this kind of like palate that would tolerate this type of ethnic food, but we have such a range from between that all the way to crab cakes, which of course is what everybody likes and enjoys.
If you go to Baltimore, you got to have a crab cake.
Got to do it.
That's cool. And so why did Hyatt want to do this? I mean, you know, it's 107 rooms is not necessarily their traditional sweet spot.
No, not at all. I mean, we're a boutique, clearly part of the JDV portfolio. We are privately owned by a group called Nuovo out of Colorado, managed by Hyatt. And a lot of the things that we started to do kind of began before Hyatt started to develop a lot of their programs, like, you know, Care Starts Here and that kind of stuff, which is now, you know, a big part of how they're moving forward post-pandemic. And it's great that we're able to contribute to it and how it's being developed and how they're executing it in communities that are just like ours. So now we've been positioned to really be the thought leaders, you know, the quote unquote experts, only because we got to it before everybody else mm-hmm, did. Mm-hmm. And it was just a natural reaction. Like,
not necessarily the smartest, but the first.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that sometimes you end up becoming, you know, having knowledge and knowing what to do with it are two different things. You know, I think we've been able to combine both really well.
That's fantastic. And so, you know, when you think about, the future of independent hotels, clearly, the universe is catching up to everybody. Mm-hmm. And diversity, equity, and inclusion is a conversation that's happening worldwide. And yeah, if you're not hearing about it, you better hear about it. And so how do you see what you're doing expanding, you know, potentially across the Hyatt brand or just the universe of hospitality? Because, you know, if you look into the background of hospitality, it was traditionally people of color mm-hmm. who were providing it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but tell me how you see diversity, equity, and inclusion being a necessary component of the future of hospitality.
Yeah, it's funny that you framed it that way, because the same thing applies to fine dining as well as farming, right? And there's always been these questions when it came to at least the fine dining side of things is, can a black person have a fine dining restaurant when traditionally we were the ones that were preparing those meals mm-hmm. for families, for the rich families?
Going back to Chef Napoleon at Mount Vernon.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think my mere existence speaks towards, you know, like some of the greatest kind of impact I can have in the industry. You know, there's no visuals here, but I am a, you know, 5'11", 220 pound bearded black man from Baltimore with tattoos and a lot of hair. And, you know, if you put that down on a piece of paper, you would probably, and you, when you were thinking about who to hire or who to bring into any kind of professional space, you would probably just push that aside. And that's, you know, we all have bias. I get it. Like, but, you know, representation is everything. That's why it's so important, because that we could really reduce the amount of bias that's being, you know, put into these decisions. If you're used to seeing this, right? If you're used to seeing someone who looks like me, you would not be so concerned, worried, or have doubt, or just, you know, rejecting of people of color being in spaces, having the ability to contribute to decisions, to make decisions, and be trusted in that area, right? Especially hospitality, right? And when you think about even what luxury is anymore, it's really been defined from like an old world colonizer's view of like what is comfortable and extravagant. And I don't think that's the same anymore.
Well, and the sort of, I'm gonna use a word that's generally used in the other way, the appropriation of luxury by hip hop and by, you know, performers, athletes, and people that would not generally be sort of in that world, but are driving.
Yes.
I mean, when you think about the history of Puff and P. Diddy and Jay-Z and Beyonce and how much they are driving the future of luxury.
Yeah, it's who knew that that would ever become the thing, but we haven't fully... You know, we recognize that that's happening, but we're still applying the old rules to this new thing that isn't necessarily a trend. It's now, you know, beyond a moment. This is a
movement. An existing paradigm.
It's very much existing, and until otherwise, it's going to continue to exist, because I think that as a culture that's been, you know, marginalized and oppressed as much as ours has, like, you know, now we have this opportunity to really, you know, double down on who we are and how we represent ourselves, because we haven't had a lot of time to do that. We haven't been able to do it. And that, so here it is, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that what I see is the DEI conversation is putting into context this idea that the culture is moving to the people of color. It's not the people of color that are moving to the culture and forcing assimilation the way that it might have happened, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Absolutely.
You know, people of color are entering into the luxury market in many cases where they've already been for a decade or two, loud and proud, wearing their freak flag, letting their hair bust out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's sort of no apologies required, nor accepted.
You did a good job of kind of framing that, for sure. And another thing about it is I think we're uniquely, you know, sensitive to excluding people in certain situations. So there's plenty of space. Like, if you are somebody who gets it and is a part of this, you know, it's not about your skin tone as much as you getting and understanding, you know, the
it's more about
daily life. It is a true culture.
Like, you and I, we look different.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that the Venn diagram of who we are inside is pretty fucking similar.
Psychographics, you know, I think that's another reason that, you know, we have to stop using demographics exclusively. Like, we need to know what we connect with on a personal level, like how we behave. You know, we may look a certain way, but we're into things that you would not have necessarily assumed just by, you know, by sight.
Yeah. And so how did you find out about ILC?
You know, as we kind of talked about before, it's like, I'm really new to the industry. I had no hotel experience previous to this. And the ownership group nominated me for the award. I got an email and it let me know that, you know, I was in the running. So I was excited just for that, right? I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, kind of just started this thing and we've been doing some awesome stuff, not thinking there would be any kind of reward or award at the end of this. And to win it, like, really blew my mind. You know, we were...
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so just, you know, one of the questions that I'm asking a lot of people is to say, you know, ILC is, to me, check. You know, I've heard community. I've heard progress. You know, what does it mean to you?
Ooh, is this a one word?
As somebody who's new
to this
conference, like what is ILC... I mean, what do you see as the value proposition of it? And, you know, are you going to, you know, you know, as an award winner, you could turn your back on it now and just be like, I got this. But like, you know, is it something that you're going to continue with?
Yeah, I'm out. I'm grabbing this award. I'm running. No,
Audi.
No, seriously, man, I think it's a bit of a change agent, you know, and it's a word that could, has been abused in the past. But, you know, when you really think of what traditional hospitality is, it feels like an organization that kind of rose against that and is challenging it and being disruptive in a positive sense. So I am like, and I didn't know what to expect coming here, but as soon as I walked in, it felt comfortable. It felt like I was at home. I was with people who had some shared value system that I could get with, and everybody seems pretty stylish, right?
Yeah.
And I am not one to wear a suit anymore, and I don't think that that's what the director of culture and impact should look like, especially if they're going into the community. We're looking to build trust, not get you to sign, you know, a contract, right? So
we want to make impact with our culture.
Exactly.
There you go.
So to me, I just I think that this is going to be one of the driving, you know, voices in great change when it comes to hospitality, luxury, ownership, that whole space, man. It's awesome.
Excellent. Can you please say your name and your position and your brand?
Yeah, my name is Jason Bass. I am the Director of Culture and Impact at Hotel Revival in Baltimore, Maryland.
Is there anything that I didn't get? Is there anything that you'd like to say?
I'd like to say you need to come to Baltimore and try and see what we're doing, man, and potentially participate.
I'll come.
You have an open invite.
You know who
invite.
I didn't hear you mention, who is probably one of my favorite things in Baltimore right now? You know Hilton Carter?
Yo, so that's one of my closest friends.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Love that guy.
We went to Japan together.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow,
I got
man.
All the books. I am a huge fan. Love that guy.
Again, Plant.
And then when you
the
say
last
my
name.
Last name is Plant.
Yeah.
Hilton Carter is the fucking jam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love him, man. He's a great dude. He just had his baby. His wife's incredible. I mean, this is not a bad thing to be said about
him. I was coming anyway.
Yeah.
Now I'm really coming.
Yeah, please do. He actually might be doing our plantscaping for our rooftop restaurant.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're working on
no,
that.
He should be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I will say this. You know, I will come, and I'm glad that you mentioned, like, out of the blue, you came to me and were like, yo, podcasting, hey. You know, for me, the sausage is the story.
Mm-hmm.
How you make things. Like, I'm not, I don't want to, like, for me, like, when I'm getting ready for a party.
Yeah.
That's the fun. The party's cool.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, for me, like, the work is done.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's the crafting of the event. It's
yeah.
building that space for people to come. And like you said, even here, you walked in the door, you felt included. You felt like, you know, I'm walking into, you know, like I'm not from the hospitality background. I'm not from the hotels, but
yeah.
but I don't feel bad walking in here.
Yeah. No.
You know,
no.
And so I'm saying, keep digging into the stories and
mm-hmm.
build it. You know, I think that, you know, this is, you know, the content is the key.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And I'm glad that you're in. I'm glad that we met. And
same.
I look forward to coming down to Baltimore and to hanging out and to helping make more stories together.
Fantastic. Absolutely my pleasure, Chris. I'm looking forward to seeing you. This better not be you might be selling me a dream.
No, no.
We need you there.
Thank you very much, okay?
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to these conversations.
Make sure to check out our upcoming events at ilcongress.com under events.